And we welcome everyone back. Great to have you with us. Todd Sadowski, Trey Bauer, Steve Jones. Yes, the Blue-White Tailgate crew together to talk about Penn State football with Washington in the Fiesta Bowl coming up. We talked about Tommy Stevens earlier. Let's get to Saquon Barkley. Todd, should we allow everyone to have Trey go first on Barkley?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to hear what he has to say.
I mean, you were pretty blunt about him not going to the Heisman ceremony.
Who's Saquon Barkley?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I knew, again,
he's the best football player in America. And last I checked, the Heisman Trophy is given to the best football player in America in college, and he is. And for him not to even be invited to the ceremony, right, is just a disgrace to me. And, you know, he's going to be laughing all the way to the bank, Steve Jones. That's all I got to say.
Yes, he will be.
Chuckling and dancing his way to the Brinks truck as he signs as a top five pick in the NFL.
Do they not have an extra chair there at the ceremony? Couldn't make an extra one in the row or maybe two? I mean, what is the Heisman? You know, look, I know it's the Heisman Trophy, and, you know, it's a prestigious award. But if you want it to stay a prestigious award, for one, quit doing all these straw polls with Heisman voters, and you tell your voters, don't say one word about who you're voting for until the end. You've got to continue the mystery of the award by the end of it, because no one tunes in, because it's already been voted on, basically, by the time they get there. And why can't it be a little bit more inclusive? Who cares if Saquon Barkley was a distant fourth? He was fourth. Invite the top five kids. Now you've got two extra major college programs and their fans tuning into the ceremony, at least interested in what's going on. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And, you know, why would you not want a guy like Saquon Barkley to represent what your award is supposed to represent, even if he's not winning? It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No. It didn't, but he ended up with fourth, I guess, overall.
Yeah.
Trace McSorley, we've now watched him as the starting quarterback for the last 2 years, got the first taste of what he could do in the Taxpayer Bowl, especially in the second half against Georgia. Todd, when you watch him play, because, I mean, you'll do this in a couple ways. Sometimes you're watching him from up top, and then other times late in the game you get a chance field level to see what he does. What do you see?
Well, look, I'll go back to the Blue-White game. All right, when they didn't know who their starting quarterback was going to be, and we saw a brief glimpse of Trace in the Taxpayer Bowl, and immediately you could see the leadership skills because they moved right down the field on George, and he threw a touchdown, almost brought him back. You know, everybody talks about JT Barrett. I don't care if it's a 7-7. That game against Penn State, it's not even easy to complete, 33 of 39 if you have nobody defending you, right? I mean, to be that accurate. And that's what I saw from Trace right from the beginning in the Blue-White game. Yes, he's not going to get hit, but he continued to just put the ball right between the numbers, lead receivers perfectly, away from defenders. The drive against Iowa. I mean, what hasn't he shown us? Whether you're watching from the field, the stands, the press box, on television, the guy is just a winner. And I just enjoy watching him. You know, look, he's probably going to be a Heisman contender at the beginning of next year, depending on how he does in the big game, certainly. But they have defenses have went to all lengths to try and shut down Saquon Barkley and said every time, Trace McSorley's going to have to beat us. And, oh, what is he, 21-5? He's beating them. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job.
I mean, when you played, probably the most mobile quarterback you played probably was Flutie, right?
Oh, yeah. Flutie was a great college football player.
I mean, not good. He was a legitimately great college football player. In fact, he was a really good pro, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the CFL, he was really good. How tough was it when you faced someone that had mobility to go with an arm and was not just a one-dimensional guy?
Well, it was really difficult. I mean, the fact is that, you know, I think Doug still has the Beaver Stadium passing record for an opponent.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Right? That was...
What, 484 or some number like that.
Yeah, and that's the year that we beat them and he won the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it was a very frustrating game to play in because he was all over the place and, you know, the knock on him was that he wasn't big enough to play in the NFL. Well, let me tell you something. Boston College teams of the 80s were like one of the big steroid user schools and these guys were houses. All right, and he looked like a midget back there. You couldn't even see over the guys. I mean, they averaged like 6'5", 6'6", when the average offensive lineman was a 6'3 guy.
Right.
They were bigger than every offensive line in the NFL. And the fact is, he put up great numbers, played a really tough schedule, and And I just didn't think he ever really got his due. But it's very, very difficult to try to combat, especially someone who is hiding literally behind a giant offensive line. You right. can't even see him.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of that has, you know, with Trace, I mean, I think our offensive line is so huge that, you know, he gets kind of like lost in the shuffle. They can't find him back there.
And Trey, as a linebacker, you know, I'm sure you can speak to this part of it. What I like what Trace does is he's almost like a point guard or like somebody in basketball where he is going to show you the run. And so you have to respect that. But if you come up too soon, he's going to drop it right over your head to his receiver. So he not only uses his feet, obviously, to move the chains and run and get a first down, but he also moves it to move the defense and, you know, buy himself some time. And, you know, you get caught in between trying to figure out, is the guy going to tuck it under and run, or is he going to drop it over my head, you know, just like he did to Barkley on the winning drive against Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, it's hard for, you know, it's not difficult for the three of us who obviously are involved with Penn State football and follow it from very close, but it's really interesting to me because you meet Trace McSorley, and he's the most unassuming kid you'll yep. ever meet in your life,
yep.
and he's so soft-spoken, and I almost laugh when I watch him play football because I'm like, who is this guy? Where did this guy come from? Where's right. Because he's just such a humble, quiet kid. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, you know, I've got two daughters, and I would be like, you know what? You date Trace McSorley. He's a really sweet kid, and good for you. But when he gets on the football field, it's like he becomes like a different person. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's Sean Lee.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Lee, the old blue line.
Yeah.
On one side of the blue line. Right, we're bordering on Mother Teresa.
Correct.
Right, on the other side of the blue line, we're bordering on Dick Butkus.
Correct.
Hey, I'm talking personality.
Yes.
I mean guys had to calm Sean down in practice sometimes.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, then he crossed the blue line. And he's like, can I get any food from the pantry for you?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, good. Fabulous. Okay. Yeah. you just tried to kill me out there. Well, then we're done with that.
Yeah. Now I'll try and kill you tomorrow yeah. too, but we're not going to kill you right now.
Well, between now and then, I'd like to feed you.
Yeah. Yes.
which then brings me to defense. Let's tap into your defensive expertise here. What kind of defense did you see Penn State play this season?
I think Penn State, they have a lot of room to grow. I think that's interesting that if you had to look at, other than the injuries down the stretch with the defensive line, if you think about defense being the defensive line, then you have the linebackers and you have the defensive secondary. I mean, coming from a school, you know, linebacker U, I mean, in my opinion, I think the linebacker is the weakest of that group. And I think that, you know, having younger guys coming in and having Micah Parsons and having some other guys that are coming in, I think it's going to take them a little while to kind of get back to where it was. But it's almost unfathomable to say that that was the weakest part of the defense, but I think that it was.
When you look at today's style of offense, there's so many RPOs. Is it more difficult to defend as a linebacker today as opposed to, like, for example, when Penn State played Iowa? Well, that's a pretty good matchup for Penn State. They, you know, you know what you're yes. going to get.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think it's like the RPO in the days of the 80s would be similar to a wishbone type play, but you knew that the wishbone offense, you were going to throw the ball 6 or 10 times a game.
Right.
The run-pass option, it clearly is a run and pass option. So, yeah. And if you've got a guy who can, you know, who can sling it around and you've got some good receivers, I mean, it could cause a lot of problems.
A key package for Penn State in the last couple of years has been what I refer to as the four defensive end package. Ohio mm-hmm. State runs it. Penn State runs it with Givens coming in and Buckholz flipping from end to tackle. Buckholz, Todd, wasn't there the last 6 weeks. They lost an entire package that they relied on. How difficult is that to overcome sometimes where suddenly you have to scratch something out that, you know, you can't use for a while?
Well, we found out quickly against Ohio State when you don't have a pass rush, what happens. And, yeah. you know, look, it's great to have a rotation and it's great to have numbers and bodies. And I think that's important, but not every offense is going to allow you to do that. And what happened at Ohio State, one, is Buckholz went out of the game. And two, they ran a fast-paced offense. They did not allow any rotation in the defensive end position. And, you know, those guys had their hands on their hips and they were just spent by the time they got to the third quarter, and they just couldn't, you know, so that's where it's nice to have those one or two guys that are, you know, doesn't, you want them on the field every single play, that, you know, that are just the stud players that are going to be pros, because it puts too much pressure on your secondary. Like, you know, I love the fact that they didn't give up any points in the first quarter, right, you know, from the get-go. They showed up ready to play the entire defense, but that's just, they didn't face a ton of great quarterbacks, just, you know, pure throwing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And whether it's college or whether it's pro, guys, you know, if you got a hot quarterback, I mean, or a sophisticated passing system, whatever, it's just too much pressure to hold and keep guys covered, mm-hmm, if you can't get to the quarterback. And, you know, look, that might be an issue against Washington. I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's when they struggled the most, is they just couldn't get to the quarterback. And against Michigan State, he was able to move around enough, the QB, to buy enough time to hurt them in the passing game as well.
Penn State has given up 4.3 yards per punt return for the entire season when the ball has been returned. They are facing somebody that averages 20 yards per punt return, has 9 career touchdowns, including 4 this season. You played in a few.
Don't punt him the ball. How about that? How about that strategy? Don't punt him the ball. Blake Gilligan, you punt the ball into the sideline every single time. Do not punt him the ball.
And now on point counterpoint, we bring in Todd Sadowski.
No, Steve, I'll throw it to you, because you've mentioned, look, you've seen Blake kick. Yeah. You've raved about his accuracy as a punter. Yeah. And in order to accomplish what Trey wants to accomplish, that's what you need. You got to be able to place the ball where you can.
Well, it's all about ball placement. It's not just a question of rearing back and just belting it as far as you can belt it. And if you have a punter who can place it in a spot, which includes, by the way, say close to the sideline where, mm-hmm, the ball might go out of bounds, right, and there's no return, that means everything, I think, in today's game. That's why, with all due respect to the Rutgers punter, who had a really good year, Todd made the point on the TV show, and he was absolutely right. He said, look, you're punting from the 10-yard line. You're going to get some 55 yards.
Yeah, a lot.
As opposed to the guy that says, okay, we're at the 45. I have to dump it down at the 8.
Correct.
I mean, this guy is, Trey made the great point the other day on the show. He says, who is the MVP of the Aloha Bowl? George Reynolds.
The punter. I just think that, if you think about a game like this where they're so evenly matched, these teams, from the coaches we talked about earlier, from the coaches, the offense, the defense, right, and the special teams, the one thing, and the same thing goes for Washington. I wouldn't kick to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's, I mean, he's in the back. He's back returning kicks. Don't kick it to him.
Well, Nebraska cracked me up. Barkley wasn't there. They thought he was.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Every kickoff. No, he's got to be back there. He has to. Okay. Does anybody in the press box know the difference between a 26 and a 10?
Yeah.
Okay. You wonder why your staff didn't make it. They couldn't understand a 26 and a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the philosophy is the same for the punter, too. I mean, if Blake can rear back and kick it 60 yards, great. But you now kick your coverage. Even if you don't angle it and you kick it higher. You know what I mean? Even make the adjustment and kick it 45 yards or 40 yards and a lot higher, so that your coverage is all standing around him when he catches the ball, as opposed to booming it 60, and he's got 5-10 yards to figure out how to make the first couple of guys miss, and there he goes.
Well, I know one thing, Todd. You definitely outkicked your coverage marrying the girl that you married.
Yeah, you did.
Let's just call it.
Yeah,
it wasn't hard to outkick my coverage. Trust me. It wasn't hard to marry up.
Okay, Clemson and Alabama.
Alabama.
I'm going Clemson.
Okay, one for me. Go on. Okay.
Yeah, but but watching you pick Alabama and then watching your handshake.
Okay.
Okay. That was really worth it on my end.
Do we want to preface this pick segment by saying you won the pick segment on the Blue White Tailgate, and then I brought up the rear again? So for any of your listeners out there, I'm not so sure I would take what I say.
I didn't keep track, but I know that Mueller's involved, because there's going to be some sort of like shenanigans that Steve won the pick. So I'm not really sure if that's true or not.
Oklahoma, Georgia, Rose Bowl.
Oklahoma.
I like Oklahoma's defense to be a difference in that game a little bit. I think they can hold Georgia down farther than Georgia's D can hold Baker Mayfield and the Sooners.
Yeah, I've got Oklahoma, and it's really weird to say a Big 12 defense is a difference. Let's see.
Yes, it is.
I mean, the words is, okay, Ohio State and USC.
Don't care. I'm not picking.
Okay, Todd.
Not picking. I don't care. Wow. 0-0, Todd Sadowski. How about that?
That's like an interesting game.
Great point average. 0.0.
Where's that game at? What are they playing in? The Cotton
Bowl at Jerry World.
Like that matters. I'll go Ohio State.
Yeah. I'll take Ohio State. All right. I saved the best for last, Todd.
Mm-hmm. It's only one person needs to weigh in on this one, and I know where you're going.
LSU Notre Dame.
Again. Fat rear end Ed Orgeron. Unless he gets fired and Les Miles comes back to coach that game, is the only way that LSU wins. And I hate Notre Dame, but I got to say it, that's the only way that LSU wins. Enough's enough.
I can't follow that, Steve. Move on to the next one.
There really is no one on the planet that can. Miami, Wisconsin?
Wisconsin, of course. I'll never pick Miami.
Yeah.
I'll say Wisconsin has to win this game. They need to win this game. Right. They got to win this game.
Wisconsin, Auburn, Central Florida.
Auburn kills them.
I'll take Auburn.
Yeah, I'll take them as well. I think. What did I say? That was the game I had. Yeah. And I said it's adorable they let them in.
Yeah, seriously.
Hey, you know, but that's the classic matchup, guys. When you talk about bowl games, who's interested? Who cares? Right. If Auburn cares and they're interested, they're going to win that game.
Right. If they're not, they're gone.
Yeah.
And to me, that's always the worst one, because I remember I talked to Matt LePay, Wisconsin's play-by-play guy, after the Big Ten championship game last year. I said, Matt, your team's in a really tough spot. I said, you're playing Western Michigan in the Cotton Bowl. I said, if you win the game, everybody goes, big deal, you beat Western Michigan. I said, if you lose the game, what? How could you lose to Western Michigan?
Yeah.
I said, that's a bad sign. That team's always put in a bad spot. Auburn's in a bad spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is, for them to lose three games and be eighth in the country, I just don't understand that.
Right. Well,
and I don't want to hear. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a joke. And, you know, I mean, has Auburn, are they going to just pack it in and not do anything? No. I mean, you know, who knows? Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is always, and I do mean always, a pleasure.
Anytime, Steve.
Whether it's radio, TV, or the golf course.
Awesome. Merry Christmas, boys.
Yep. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to your listeners as well.
Trey Bauer, Todd Sadowski. Great to have them with us. Always great to share a football season with them. We really have a great time taping the Blue White Tailgate Show. And by the way, Kerry Stroh, right? The Valley Zone is the producer of that show and does a great, great job with it. And the chemistry between Todd and Trey, we mix Jay Paterno in there as well. We have a great time with it. Just a great time. All right. Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up on tomorrow's show, and this should be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this very, very much. And that would be Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football, broadcasting his final game tomorrow. He's going out on his own terms. We're going to have Bob on the show tomorrow. His color analyst is the former Washington quarterback and former NFL quarterback, Damon Heward. Our sideline analyst is Derek Williams. He'll join us tomorrow. And Jack Ham will join us on the show tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that as well, as we get all the announcers on the show tomorrow. We had Dave Pasch on last week, who's doing the game on ESPN, but we'll get Bob Rondo and Damon Heward's take and really break down Washington for you, and Jack and Derek will really break down Penn State for you. That'll be a fun show. If you're a football fan, you want to know the nuts and bolts about Saturday's game out in Glendale, tomorrow's the show you need to listen to. Now, today was a lot of fun. You can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. And thanks so much for the record podcast numbers we have been getting. That's a tribute to the great work that Sean's been doing lining up guests. Sean Carey has been, and the guests have had, brought with them a lot of interest. I don't care. It's Spider Caldwell to a Dave Pasch to Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer to a Jack Ham. I mean, we go Merrill Reese, Bill Hillgrove. We go through a long, long line of people that have been on the show and have contributed so much. So check out the podcast, stevejonesshow.com. Bob Rondo, Damon Heward, Jack Ham, Derek Williams, all on tomorrow's show. Our thanks today, Dick Girardi, for being on the show today, Lou Prado for being on the show today, and also Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer. Show's been brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.